taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans. Thank you for joining me here at the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. Today I want to take some time and talk about a couple of, very important, very explosive, potentially, news articles, news things that are happening, and I want to spend a little bit of time on each of them. Now, the first one I want to talk about is the CDC eviction moratorium that's been continued. Now, part of the reason I want to talk about this is I've heard a lot of, we'll call it mischaracterizations of what actually is going on and what actually has happened. I've heard everything from the hyperventilation of, oh my God, how dare the President of the United States ignore the Supreme Court of the United States? It's tyranny. It's anarchy. It's, you know, dogs and cats living together. We need to take a breath. We need to look at what actually happened, and we need to look at the actual law and the actual Constitution so that we can have a rational response to what's going on. Now, the other side of the coin is people are pointing out, the contradictions of a politician, which really should surprise no one. Seems like politicians are really good at contradicting themselves hither, thither, and yon. So let's back up. Let's take a breath. Let's discuss what actually is going on, at least as of when I recorded this episode. Now, first, there's one myth we need to dispel, and that is that the Supreme Court ruled that the CDC eviction moratorium was unconstitutional. Now, for those of you may not be familiar with this, during the scamdemic, the scaredemic, the scare the pants off the American people, many cities and states shut down their economy. Now, they were shutting down and locking down businesses. They were basically putting people out of work. By the millions, people were put out of work. And this had the quite understandable consequence of if they were out of work, they weren't getting paid, which means many of them would have a hard time paying the rent. So to fix the mess that these governments made, the federal government, in the auspices of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the infamous CDC, issued an eviction moratorium, basically saying that we don't care if you have a contract, we don't care if you have a legal document, the CDC now rules over all of the housing, and you are prevented from actually exercising your contract, your right of private property ownership, because we say so, because we think it's a good idea. Now, I've written a couple of articles and recorded a couple of videos about this. You can find them on the Constitution Study website. I'll put links into the description so you can find them when this show hits the show page. But basically, the CDC has no legal authority to do this. In fact, the United States has no legal authority. It is legally prohibited from interfering in intrastate commerce. In other words, unless you're renting a property across state lines, that is, the federal government is legally prohibited from getting involved. See, the 10th Amendment, the Article 1, Section 8 says that Congress has the authority to regulate interstate commerce, not the executive branch. And the CDC is part of the executive branch. So Congress has the authority, but only to regulate interstate commerce. And again, if you're not renting stuff across state lines, then it's intrastate commerce. And the 10th Amendment says any power not delegated to the United States by the Constitution is generally retained by the states. So that whole CDC thing is a nightmare. It's an abomination. Now, I've heard many people claim that, well, the Supreme Court has ruled that this is unconstitutional. No such thing. The court didn't rule. First of all, the court doesn't rule. The court offers opinion, but I need to get to that in a minute. See, the thing we need to understand is what went to the Supreme Court was a request to vacate a lower court order. Specifically coming out of the District Court for the District of Columbia, which vacated the eviction moratorium issued by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Now, this was appealed to the Supreme Court, and what the Supreme Court did was say, they denied to vacate the order. Now, there was a concurring opinion issued by Justice Kavanaugh that went into why he agreed that the eviction moratorium should be left vacated. But the court never sat down. It never heard arguments. It never discussed and debated it and came up with an opinion. So that's already a bit of hyperbole. The Supreme Court said, no, we're not touching this, either because they think it was rightly found or they just don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And again, the only opinion that was issued was a concurring opinion by Justice Kavanaugh, where he said, I agree with the district court and the appellants that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention exceeded its existing statutory authority by issuing a nationwide eviction moratorium. And he went on to explain a little bit about why. But it's one page. And if you know anything about judicial opinions, that is about as brief as you get. It's the judicial equivalent of a yep. So let's stop the hyperventilating about the Supreme Court. Let's look at what the district court said. The district court looked at the order and it looked at the law which the order was based on. In other words, the Public Health Service Act, Title 42 of the United States Code, Section 264, which does not give the CDC the authority to issue a nationwide eviction moratorium. Reading from that part of the regulation, says the Surgeon General, with the approval of the Secretary, is authorized to make and enforce such regulations as in his judgment are necessary to prevent the introduction, transmission, or spread of communicable diseases from foreign countries into the states or possessions, or from one state or possession into another state or possession. In other words, the CDC only has the ability to make rules and regulations involving interstate or foreign transmission of the disease of a disease. This is not this the case with an eviction moratorium. And this is the reason that the district court said, listen, you've gone beyond your power. Your power is to set rules and regulations to prevent the interstate or foreign transmission of disease, not to regulate within a state, which renting is, right? You're renting in a state. Whatever you're renting, if you're renting a home, it doesn't move from state to state. It cannot be interstate. It completely ignores questions about the constitutionality, the Fifth Amendment deprivation of property, right? Because basically this eviction moratorium deprives the landlord of control of their property without due process of law. It completely ignores all that. So it is not simply a statutory problem. This is actually a constitutional violation. And again, the court didn't go into any of that detail. So the district court said, no, you don't have the authority to do that. The Supreme Court said, we're not going to vacate that order. However, basically the Supreme Court said, listen, because it's going to end shortly, this decision was made on June 29th. And they said, and according to Kavanaugh's opinion, he said, because the CDC plans to end the moratorium in only a few weeks on July 31st, and because those few weeks will allow for additional and more orderly distribution of the congressionally appropriated rental assistance funds, I vote at this time to deny the application to vacate the district court's stay of its order. In other words, what you did was wrong. It really was wrong, but we're not going to do anything about it because it's going to end in a little bit. Now, again, here we come to another problem. Because the reason Kavanaugh gave includes the fact that they can distribute funds that Congress has already appropriated for rental assistance. But we just talked about the fact that that is not a power delegated to the United States. It is not interstate commerce. It is not foreign commerce. It is not commerce with the Indian tribes. Therefore, Congress illegally distributed these rental assistance funds. Court doesn't deal with any of that. So in the middle of all this, President Biden announces he's going to extend the CDC eviction moratorium. And people had a conniption. People went nuts. Well, let's stop and think about what's actually happening for just a minute here. First of all, the courts, both the Supreme and District Court, have not said that the eviction moratorium is unconstitutional. They said it was a violation of U.S. law. So that's there's an important distinction. U.S. law is not the Constitution. The Constitution actually is supreme over U.S. law. Only U.S. laws made pursuant to the Constitution are considered supreme. So no court has found the eviction moratoriums unconstitutional that I have seen. All of them have found it to be beyond the powers delegated by U.S. law. So there's issue number one. It is unconstitutional. It's just none of the courts have actually mentioned that. But here's the other thing we keep forgetting. The president does not serve the courts. The president is not subservient to the court. He is not a functionary of the court. The Supreme Court does not have the power to order the president to do anything. In fact, if we go back to Federalist Papers number 78, where Alexander Hamilton is writing about the judicial branch, he said, "The judiciary, on the contrary, has no influence over either the sword or the purse, no direction either of the strength or of the wealth of the society, and can take no active resolution whatever. It may truly be said to have neither force nor will, but merely judgment, and must ultimately depend upon the aid of the executive arm, even for the efficacy of its judgments." So, we have a court opinion that does not state that the eviction moratorium is unconstitutional. It says it's a violation of U.S. law. We should understand that the court has no authority to order the executive branch to do anything. That was the whole opinion in Marbury versus Madison. Congress could not pass a law that gave the courts the authority to issue an order to the executive branch. So this constitutional crisis that people are going on about denying the court really misses one very important point, right? The president doesn't serve the court. The court is actually dependent on the president to execute any of their opinions. They have neither force nor will, only judgment. If we believe that whatever the court says is gospel law, we no longer live in a republic. We don't even live in a democracy. We live in an oligarchy. We are ruled by 9 high priests in black robes. I don't think we want to live there. So that hyperbole goes out the window. But let's get back to the original question, the original moratorium. Is it constitutional? Is it legal for the United States, any branch of the federal government, to issue such a moratorium? Now, in the press conference where this new eviction moratorium was announced, the press secretary said that President Biden is confident that his administration's moratorium is legal, despite what he said before. You see, this announcement, which was on August 4th, kind of contradicts something from just the day or two before. Just the day before, when the White House said that it had not been able to find legal grounds to issue the moratorium. Could you not find legal grounds, or did they then find legal grounds? Well, based on some of the reporting I've heard, the president said, well, most legal scholars say it's unconstitutional, but a few special ones have said it is constitutional, so I'm going to do it. Now, again, this is what happens when you have people who don't understand the Constitution, when you have lawyers who aren't required to study the supreme law of the land, advising a president who's looking for any excuse to do what he wants to do. If, you know, he couldn't find it, then he found one person who was able to say, yeah, we can do it based on this, or a handful of people. The vast majority of, according to the reports I've heard, the majority of the Constitution lawyers that have talked to the president have said, you cannot do this. He found a few that agree with him, so he's going ahead with doing with it. And the American people are stuck because we're listening to this idiot saying that the Supreme Court said it's unconstitutional when they said no such thing. It is unconstitutional, but the Supreme Court never said that. The district court never said that. But this is what happened when we hire people based on their political party or their personality rather than their fidelity to the Constitution of the United States. So let me be absolutely clear. I don't want anybody confused. The eviction moratoriums are unconstitutional. The easiest way to look at it is it's twofold. At the one hand, you have the 10th Amendment. You have a member of the executive branch exercising a power not delegated to the United States by the Constitution. You also have a violation of the 5th Amendment because they are depriving landlords of their property, of control of their property, without due process of law. They are unconstitutional. Now, the district court did not find that. The Supreme Court did not find that. They both said they violated U.S. law. That doesn't change the fact that these are blatantly unconstitutional. But, again, since we have three branches of government and since the judicial branch is not given power to order or mandate either of the other two branches, this is not a constitutional crisis from the standpoint of, my God, President Biden's ignoring the Supreme Court. This is a dictator in chief acting like a dictator in chief and doing, in many respects, what I've advised previous presidents to do. That is, when they see an opinion of the court that is unconstitutional, they should ignore it because it's just an opinion. Now, I don't think the opinion of the court is unconstitutional, but I think we have to hold the president accountable for these actions. Now, there's a couple things that can happen. Obviously, Congress could simply come in and cut off all funding for the CDC and HHS until they rescind the mandate. It's like, you've gone too far, and we're going to slap you. We're going to cut off all your funding until you come back within the constitutional fold. Do I expect them to do that? About as much as I expect a snowball fight in hell this weekend. It's not likely to happen. The politicians don't know the Constitution, and they're too cowardly to actually take a stand for something like that. Now, what I would ask the people to do is it's time for we the people to contact our representatives in the House and demand that they impeach President Joe Biden for the crime of depriving the American people of a right protected by the Constitution. Title 18, United States Code, Section 242. His actions, the actions of his administration, and his actions directly, are denying people who own rental property, they're denying them the right protected by the Constitution to not be deprived of that property without due process of law. That's a violation of Title 18, United States Code, Section 242, punishable by a fine and up to 1 year in jail. By the way, I would also recommend that any landlord with a government agent that comes in and demands that he not evict somebody or otherwise impedes his control of his property, file a complaint with the FBI that that individual has violated Title 18, United States Code, Section 242. See, we're not powerless here. We simply must refuse to comply with illegal orders. This is an illegal order. You know, we're told that soldiers have to obey orders, but they only have to obey legal orders. This is an illegal order. This mandate is not a law. It is not even a regulation. It is an illegal order. We must refuse to comply. This is not civil disobedience. This should be peaceful non-compliance with an order that is void. Yes, this order is void. Remember Federalist Papers number 78. In that, Alexander Hamilton said, there is no position which depends on clear principles than that every act of a delegated authority contrary to the tenor of the commission under which it is exercised is void. No legislative act, therefore, contrary to the Constitution, can be valid. To deny this would be to affirm that the deputy is greater than his principal, that the servant is above his master, that the representatives of the people are superior to the people themselves, that men acting by virtue of powers may do not only what their powers do not authorize, but what they forbid. I want you to notice a couple things here. He says, no legislative act contrary to the Constitution can be valid. I say no governmental act can be valid. Since the president is exercising a delegated authority under the commission of the United States, when he acts contrary to that, that act is void. When anybody in the executive branch acting under his power does that, that act is void. But notice the examples. He said to deny this would be for, the deputy is greater than the principal, the servant above his master. But he says that the representatives of the people are superior to the people. Recognize that's inversion. The idea that the president, that a delegated authority can do what the people have not authorized means that our representatives are superior to us, which is what we've been taught. It's how we act. But that's not what the Constitution says, and that's not what our founding fathers gave us. We are superior to them. They must follow our restrictions, not the other way around. Not unless we've told them they're allowed to do that. And we did not. So I would love to, I would advise again, if you're a landlord, throw them out. If the if your sheriff or your police force refuses to enact your legitimate power to control your property, if they depend on an illegal, immoral, unconstitutional, and therefore void act, show them Federalist Papers number 78. Show them Title 18 USC Section 242. In fact, go to my website, go to constitutionstudy.com, search for Knowing Your Rights. And you'll find a couple things. One is you should find the Knowing Your Rights placard. That is a one-page sheet I did up to show you some of the constitutionally protected rights that are being violated. And it includes the language, the relevant language of Title 18, Section 242. Show it to them. Right? You're depriving me of my property by depriving me control of my property, and you are therefore violating federal law. You can spend a year in jail. If the president refuses to follow his oath of office and faithfully execute the laws, then he should be impeached. If he commits a criminal act, a high crime, well, he should also be impeached. The founders weren't talking about, he's committed, some grievous felony. He is the president of the United States. He is under oath. His crimes are almost by definition high crimes. Think of it this way. There's how many millions of dollars and how many billions of dollars in uncollected rent that the president of the United States is effectively stealing from the landlords. Is that not grand theft? Is that not a high crime? It is time we, the people, regain control. We reassume mastery over our servants, our representatives in Congress. It is our responsibility. If you're looking for someone else to protect your rights, you're probably on a fool's errand. We are superior to our representatives. We need to bring them back in line. Now, if you look for Knowing Your Rights on the website, constitutionstudy.com, you'll find also the Knowing Your Rights tour. Now, I am actually on the road, and I am giving this class, it's kind of half speech, half Q&A. I am teaching everyday people to know what their rights are, to recognize when they're violated, and to be able to defend and assert them. I'm not teaching them specific rights. I'm using those as an example. I'm teaching people they can know. You can know what your rights are, and you are not powerless before the government. You are its master, not its servant, not its subject, and not its slave. Now, if you want to join me, find that on the website or just go to constitutionstudy.com/tour, and that'll take you to the tour page. You can read more about the event. You can find out where and when I'll be speaking. If I'm not coming to a location near you, there's a form at the bottom. Fill that out. See if I can come near you. I've already trying to set something up in Florida and in Alabama. So if you are in either Florida or Alabama and you'd be interested, well, contact me. I'll add you to the mix. We'll see what we can set up. I'd love to get to every state in the union. Now, that's unlikely to happen, but I'd love to try. I want to try. I want as many people as possible to hear this important message, to understand your rights, to defend them yourself, to not be a subject of someone else and dependent on someone else to protect your rights for you. But I can't do it alone. I need people to help me set up these events. I need people to help support me in the work that I'm doing. If you think this is important, then please, on the tour page, you can donate to the tour. Help cover the cost of me traveling to do all of these events. These are all here so that we can do this together. You know, Benjamin, when they signed the Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Franklin said, "We must all hang together, or assuredly, we will all hang separately." Well, this is your chance to help hang together and help make sure the sacred fire of liberty in America does not go out. Now, before I head off to break, I want you to check out healthycell.com/outloud. You know, vitamins, we really need to take vitamins. The foods we eat today don't contain the same vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that they used to, at least my parents and my grandparents' time. So we're encouraged to take vitamins, especially now with COVID and all this other stuff going on. Maintaining a good immune system is important. But you see, vitamins haven't changed much in almost a century. And then along comes Healthy Cell. First of all, they've developed a whole new system. One is, instead of pills, it's actually a gel pack. Easy to pack away, easy to travel with, easy to take, easy to mix into other drinks, very easy to use. But these vitamins are designed to actually work at the cellular level to help boost your immune system, help you sleep better, help you focus better. So check out healthycell.com/outloud. I'm recommending the REM sleep. When I travel, I usually have a hard time sleeping in hotels, especially that first night. So I'm using the REM sleep. It'll help me sleep better, get a good night's sleep so I can wake up in the morning energized and ready to go. And since you're an America Out Loud listener, when you go to healthycell.com/outloud, you will get 20% off your very first order. So check out the REM sleep or check out any of their products. I know you'll enjoy them. I know they've worked for me. I know they'll work for you.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're talking about a couple really big news items. I spent the first half of the program talking about the CDC eviction moratorium, the president's flip-flop, his contradictions, and the fact that most of the news I've heard about this reboot of the moratorium Well, it just it's inaccurate. It doesn't describe it. You know, the Supreme Court did not find that the moratorium was unconstitutional. It did not. It simply refused to vacate a lower court order. And that court didn't find the law unconstitutional. It said it violated U.S. law. So if you, you can find that recording when it comes out and you can listen to the first half. The rest of the program, I want to talk about what's been going on in the empire. Now, most of you, if you listen to me for a while, you know, I was actually born in New York City. I lived most of my life in upstate New York, outside of Albany. I lived in the empire the vast majority of my life. In fact, I only moved out about 6 years ago. So I lived over 50 years in the empire. And let's face it, I got used to high taxes. I got used to a lot of regulation, but it was getting so oppressive. The regulations were so oppressive is the only word I can think that really fits. You know, you couldn't live your life without some government bureaucrat telling you what you had to do. So I left. Now, one of the things that happened just before I left, and it was one of the reasons why I left, but it will perfectly dovetail into what I want to talk about today, was the Moreland Commission. See, when Governor Cuomo won election as governor, part of his platform was to root out public corruption. So he created what was called the Moreland Commission, and it was designed to investigate public corruption. It started in 2013, and he let it go until it started finding issues with, let's just say, friends of the governor. And it seemed the closer this got to the governor and his friends, all of a sudden, he disbanded the Moreland Commission. Now, what does that have to do with what's been going on lately? Well, first, you have the governor is under investigation for killing grandma. Well, specifically for forcing nursing homes to keep infected patients among the general population. Now, even from in the early days, we recognized that the most at-risk demographic for COVID-19 was the ill and the elderly. So he required nursing homes to keep infected patients in amongst the most susceptible to death from this disease. And the numbers range from a few hundred to thousands of people in New York who died as a direct result of Governor Cuomo's order. And that's being investigated. But that's not what I want to talk about, at least not completely. You see, the other thing that's come up lately is multiple charges of sexual assault and intimidation coming from the governor. Now, again, the governor has a reputation, especially in New York and in New York politics, of being a bully and a tyrant. This is nothing new. But he was charged. There were several people that alleged sexual harassment. And this was investigated. And the other day, New York Attorney General Letitia James issued her report. Now, in the news conference, she said the independent investigation has concluded that Governor Andrew Cuomo sexually assaulted multiple women and violated federal and state laws. The investigation found that Governor Andrew Cuomo sexually harassed current and former New York State employees by engaging in unwelcome and non-consensual touching and making numerous offensive comments of a suggested and sexual nature that created a hostile work environment for women. Okay, there you've got it. The investigation has happened, and there is evidence of criminality from the governor. The report, which is 168 pages long, stated without a doubt that Governor Cuomo's behavior toward at least five women individually and collectively constitute unlawful sexual harassment. Voila. All said and done, right? Wrong. See, in that conference, the Attorney General said, "Our work is concluded and the document is now public. And the matter is civil in nature and does not have any criminal consequences." Yeah. The Attorney General, the chief law enforcement officer of the state of New York, issues a report where she claims there are at least five cases of unlawful sexual harassment, that both state and federal law have been violated by the governor. And she says there are no criminal consequences? Hey, state of New York, how do you like them apples? So I want to point out a couple things. First, both the governor and the attorney general in the state of New York are elected positions. Both of them were elected to this office. So to those in the state of New York, I ask you, are you happy with your choice? Now, there are millions that I know did not vote for Cuomo and probably did not vote for James either. How about you that did? Is this your idea of good governance? To not only have a highly placed, very powerful, very influential public official committing illegal acts in office to get away without criminal consequences? This is your idea of a free country. Is it? Now, here's two things. Here's what I think. Now, I am no longer a citizen of that fetid cesspool of scum and villainy called the state of New York. So I'm only going to give you advice. I have no power. I have no vote. Here's my advice. Everybody who's listening to me in the state of New York should be in touch with your state assemblyman and demanding that both Governor Cuomo and Attorney General James be impeached. There is evidence of criminality in the governor, and there is not only an abuse of justice, a failure of justice, there is a dereliction of duty from the Attorney General. The Attorney General, as the chief law enforcement officer, has a duty to prosecute crimes in the state, especially within the state government. That's part of the reason why we have an attorney general. It is not to throw up her hands and say, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. Baloney. Both of these people need to be impeached, and they should be impeached before the 2022 election. This is the time to decide, New York, are you an empire or are you a state? Are you serfs ruled by emperors in Albany, or are you citizens of a free state with a republican form of government? The choice is yours. It is not Cuomo's. It is not James. It is not the assembly. It is not the Senate. It is yours. You need to demand that your assemblyman issue and pass articles of impeachment for both of these criminal elected officials. Attorney General James may as well be an accessory after the fact. She certainly is obstructing justice. And it's up to the people of New York to do something about it. Don't sit there and whine and say, well, someone else has got to do it. You do it. You do it. Demand it. Don't ask them. Tell them. They are your public servants. They work for you. You demand that they file articles of impeachment. If they don't pass, well, that's just the corruption of the New York legislature, which is nothing new. But that tells you a couple of things. If they will not sign on to this, if they will not proceed when you have evidence from the Attorney General of criminality in the governor, then your representatives have shown themselves unqualified for their office. If you have that much evidence that a crime was committed by the governor and you can't even impeach him, well then, what good are you? Now, there is an impeachment investigation underway, as I understand it, as of this recording. The New York Assembly Speaker is talking about it. I don't believe a politician when they talk if they tell me the sky is blue. You cannot sit back and simply say, well, let them take care of it. You need to be in their offices. You need to be on the phone. You need to be mailing them. You need to be emailing them. They need to understand. Every assemblyman needs to understand that if they do not deal with this honestly and legitimately, they are no longer qualified for their office. And they will be replaced. I don't care if it's a party thing. If I cannot trust you to deal with such a criminal act, I can't trust you with anything. And also push very, very hard for impeachment of the Attorney General. Again, the Attorney General is derelict in her duty. She has evidence of a crime at the highest levels of state government, and she is doing nothing. She is an accessory to sexual harassment. I feel for those poor women that have gone through this entire investigation hoping to get justice, only to have the Attorney General slap them in the face and say, yeah, there is evidence that a crime was committed, but we're not going to do anything about it. This case must be brought before a grand jury. I don't care what the Attorney General is going to do. That's another issue. The Governor Cuomo's case needs to go before a grand jury. If there is that much evidence that the Attorney General, who is another Democratic operative, they're a member of the same party, if there's enough evidence for her to say that there were state and federal laws broken, then I would expect any grand jury with a set of functioning humans in it would indict him and send it to trial. Now, if he isn't convicted at trial, that's our process. But the fact that this man is not facing a grand jury is an abomination to justice. And I, if I were still a citizen of the Empire of New York, I would be in front of, now I lived near Albany. I'd be in front of my assemblyman going, where is it? Let me see. How are we doing on the impeachment? What are you doing? Have you signed on? Are you supporting it? Are you voting for it? I would drive them nuts. It is time that the Assembly of the State of New York stand up for the citizens they claim to represent. Do your job and impeach him. And it is time for the New York State Department of Justice to do your job and convene a grand jury to question, to decide the issue of whether or not to indict Governor Cuomo. I don't care that he's still in office. That doesn't put him above the law. But it seems like that's what's happening in New York right now. And if you know, this is the question. Again, a grand jury. I believe in justice. I believe in due process. Governor Cuomo and Attorney General James deserve due process. That's why they need to be indicted. They need to be impeached, and that impeachment needs to be tried. That's why the state should be pursuing charges against Governor Cuomo, should go to a grand jury. If the grand jury believes there's sufficient evidence, it should go to trial. He should have his day in court. All of his rights should be protected. He should have the right to confront his accusers. He should have the right to call witnesses in his favor. He should have the right to have counsel. But if we don't do that, if because he is governor, because he's a Democrat, means he is not held accountable for his actions, then New York truly is an empire. It is not a just state. It is a corruptocracy. And it's up to the people of New York to do something about it. It's not, you know, yes, the government has responsibility, but you, the people, you're the ones that should be in front of your assemblymen. You're the ones that should be petitioning and harassing the Department of Justice, going, where are the charges? Where's the grand jury? Tell us when. When are you holding the grand jury? It needs to happen because the people must demand it. I don't trust Speaker Hasty to do the right thing. I've seen this too often when I lived in New York. I expect this to be a lot of bluff and bluster, But I don't hold a lot of hope right now that an impeachment will actually move forward, because the Democratic Party has a stranglehold on the legislature of the state of New York. So it's only going to happen if the people press. If you're waiting for the Democratic Party to do it, good luck. It's up to the people. You, because I'm not there, I don't live in that state anymore. This is the reasons why I left that state. But you see, then I came across this other article, and this is the part that really concerns me. There was a poll conducted among, 614 adults just the other day, just after the announcement. This poll found that 32% of New Yorkers believe that Cuomo should finish his term, while 59 of those polled believe he should resign. Now, that happens to include 52% Democrats, but a third of the people of New York think he should continue his term. Well, that's kind of expected. You know, these are not unexpected numbers for me, right? Because there's a third of people you can't convince of anything. And, you know, all right, almost 60% say that he should resign. I doubt he will do the honorable thing and resign. But whether he resigns or is impeached or continues to run for office, if he's not charged, that's not good enough. But what does it say about the people of the state of New York that after these allegations, a third of the people think he should finish out his term? Now, they may think, yes, finish out your term and then not run for office. Maybe they think, you know, we'll just let him go peacefully rather than resigning. That may be the reason. I don't know. But in this environment, somehow, I don't see enough pressure on the assembly to impeach him. In fact, according to the director of the Marist poll, Mr. Mehringhoff, he said the court of public opinion believes that the allegations against Governor Cuomo warrant his removal from office. Well, that's great. What about the court of the legislature of the state of New York? So let's imagine he does resign, right? Maybe he does. Where is the justice for the women he assaulted? Where's the justice for the women he harassed? Him resigning does nothing to bring justice to them. He's still out and about. What's to prevent him, even after he resigns, from intimidating and harassing these poor women? Nothing. I mean, whether you are for Governor Cuomo or against Governor Cuomo, whether you want him to stay or not, think about the women. There is evidence that he harassed. What about them? Are you telling me that Governor Cuomo is more important than the women who worked for him? Are you telling me that simply because he holds the office of governor, we will treat accusations against him as less than credible? That even when the attorney general herself says there is evidence of a state crime, well, we'll just kind of let that pass? We'll allow him to resign? What if that were your wife? What if that were your daughter who was harassed? And if Governor Cuomo is allowed to get away with this with no more than a slap on the wrist, what about the next one? Or the one after that? See, this idea that just because someone is in government, they are above everyone else, is the aristocracy we declared independence from. The arrogance of do whatever you want because you won't suffer the consequences. And right now, the media is focusing on the sexual harassment because of the Attorney General report. But has the media been covering what's been going on with these two tremendous scandals in the state of New York? What about the men and women who died from the decisions of Governor Cuomo? Are we still hearing about those? Are those still being investigated? Are those being considered as the assembly is considering articles of impeachment? Is the governor above the law? Is the governor above the citizens of his state? These are the questions that truly need to be asked. And since we're talking about the nursing home, at least I'm talking about the nursing home, the U.S. Department of Justice dropped their civil rights probe of Governor Cuomo's nursing home debacle. And everyone was like, you know, the governor was like, yay, look at, you know, some people were outraged. Some people were victorious. Well, here's a point that I want to make. What Governor Cuomo did, I don't believe was a federal crime. I don't know what they were basing this civil rights claim on, but what Cuomo did was a violation of state law. I don't believe he had any legal authority to mandate that nursing homes keep patients together. He had no legal authority to mandate that they not segregate potentially or quarantine even potentially people where there is, through due process, evidence that there's probable cause they are a danger to others. I mean, that's the bottom line for the nursing home. If there is probable cause that someone is a danger to others, which and a COVID positive person to a nursing home full of the sick and the elderly is probable cause of danger, they should be separated. They should be quarantined, if not fully quarantined, at least segregated from the general population to minimize the opportunity for infection. What Governor Cuomo did was unconscionable. It was immoral. It is probably illegal. I'm not a scholar on New York law, so I don't know the specific laws. But I don't see it as a federal issue, because what part of the U.S. Constitution did he violate? Is there show me the article, section, and clause that says the United States will guarantee that the states keep sick people away from healthy people. I'm not familiar with that one. But this needs to be dealt with at the state level. See, that's what a union of free and independent states means, is the states clean up their own mess. Now, if you live in the state of New York and you want help putting together your arguments, putting together your discussion, your talking points to your assemblyman, I am willing to help. You can contact me. You can contact me through the show page. Leave a comment on this or any of the other articles. It's americaoutloud.com/ and just go to the menu and look for the Constitution Study. You can contact me through there. You can contact me through my own website, constitutionstudy.com. I'll be more than willing to provide whatever constitutional evidence I can, constitutional facts and data, to help you make that case. As I said, I used to live in New York. I still have family. I still have friends that live in New York. I am more than willing to help however I can. Just contact me and we'll see what we can do. But this, again, shows just how important it is that we know our Constitution of the United States and of the individual states, is several states. If you are a resident of New York, you should be aware of whatever violations of the New York Constitution Governor Cuomo committed. You should know those already. This should be obvious. Now, how can you learn more? Well, I've mentioned the Constitution Study several times. I have another website you might find interesting. It's called the Constitution Scholars. You can find it at constitutionscholars.com. It is a membership, but it's a free site. You can register for free to join the discussion. And it has several resources. It has a library of several books, several research materials that I use when I'm studying different topics. They're all linked in there. But the big thing is you have these community groups. And there's a community group for the U.S. Constitution, and there's a community group for each and every state. And one of the things I encourage is when you join Constitution Scholars, if you're interested in the federal Constitution, join that one. Join your state group as well. a couple things happen. One is it's a place for you to discuss among your neighbors what's going on in your state. Now, I like to drop in little news items I find that I think are related to the state to help initiate the conversation, but it'll help you find neighbors, friends and neighbors. You may not realize that just down the street is someone else who's just as interested in the Constitution as you are. It helps us find each other, join together, and it gives us an uncensored place to discuss these issues. The only thing I limit on that website is I do not allow vulgarity and I do not allow threats. Right? All right, so technically, I guess there's three because I don't allow illegal activity. Right? So you're not allowed to use vulgar language. You're not allowed to threaten people. You're not allowed to commit or incite illegal acts. Everything else is fair game. You want to have a hot and heated discussion about what should happen to Andrew Cuomo? Be my guest. You want to get excited and frustrated, that's fine, as long as you abide by those simple rules. No vulgarity, no threats, no illegal activity. I'll let you go at it. But we can also find people that know and understand that have started studying, and maybe you can set up your own study groups. That's really what they're there for. Find each other, start studying the U.S. Constitution, your state constitution, so that you can recognize what's going on and you know how to deal with problems like this. Don't wait for me to tell you. Don't wait for me to give you the information. Learn to recognize it for yourself. Learn to apply it for yourself. Be a free and independent citizen. Turn the empire state from the hive of scum and villainy that it has become into the shining light that it once was. Now, you can find out more about my show, get all the latest podcasts, if you go to the menu at AmericaOutloud.com, look under shows, you'll find the Constitution Study, and I'll include links to those articles I mentioned earlier in the program so you can research them for yourself.
Maybe you'll stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.